Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and here Maseches Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed. At the beginning, the 10th parak has Zro B'Lachaim. The Zichu Maseches Chulin program has been generously sponsored anonymously to help bring a lasting kinyan and Torah to Lomdei Daf Yomi worldwide. So the three daps are going to focus on. Number one, the 10th parak begins, Hazro v'lachayim v'akeva nohagim ba'arts u'b'chutzlarz. The obligation to give the foreleg, jaws, and abu mesim, meaning the fourth stomach, to a kohen applies both in Eretz Yisrael and outside Eretz Yisrael, and during and after the base of Mikdash. However, it only applies to chulin animals, not to kadshim. Now one might have derived otherwise from a kal v'chomer. Chulin is exempt from giving chaz v'shog, the chest and thigh, to a kohen, yet is subject to Zro l'chayim v'keva. Therefore, kadshim, which is subject to the law of chaz v'shog, certainly should be subject to Zro l'chayim v'keva. The pasuk therefore says that ten osam la'aron kohen u'levanav l'chok olam. I have given them to Aaron and his sons as an everlasting right, implying ein lo ela masha amur ve'inyan. He only has that which is mentioned in the context of kadshim, meaning the chaz v'shog. The Gemara then attempts to derive from kadshim that chulin should likewise be subject to chaz v'shok, but concludes that this is impossible. Chaz v'shok requires tenufa, waving, which must be lifnei Hashem, meaning in the Azorah, but chulin may not be brought into the Azorah. Point number two, Rav Chisda says, Hamazik matnas kahuna o sha'achlan patim l'shalim. One who damages the kohanim's gifts or eats them before a kohen receives them is patim from paying. This may be derived from v'zeh yeh mishpat ha-kohanim, and this shall be the due of the kohanim, implying that the obligation to give the matanos only applies while they are in existence. Alternatively, the reason is mishum dehavli mamun she'en lotovim, because it's money which has no claimant, meaning no specific kohen owns them to claim damages. After a kohen receives them, however, they are his personal property, and one who damages them must compensate him. A brayse indicates Rabbi Eliezer holds one who eats matanos designated for the kohanim, for example, Maisar Ani, is liable to pay and considers him money which has claimants. However, the Gemara explains that the Chamim argue and require payment only as midas chasidas. Rashi says one must pay to fulfill his obligation, bidei shemayim. And pointing with you, Rav Chisda's ruling is challenged from a brayse which states, v'zeh yeh mishpat ha-kohanim, and this shall be the law of the kohanim, melamed shematanos din, teaching that the matanos are law to be enforced by dayanim. Presumably, this means l'hosiyim b'dayanim, to collect the matanos with judges, with the first kohen to claim, able to compel the owner to give them to him. If so, matnas kahuna do have claimants. The Gemara answers the brayse means l'chokim b'dayanim, to distribute them according to the judge's direction. As Rabbi Yonason said, "Menayin she'ein nosim matano kohen ama arts." From where do we know that we do not give a matan to a kohen who is an ama arts? The pasuk says that the king instructed the people to give the menas, the portion, to the kohanim and levim l'man yechezku b'toras Hashem, so that they will hold firmly to Hashem's Torah. This teaches kol machzik b'toras Hashem yeshu menas. Any kohen holds firmly to Hashem's Torah has a right to a portion. V'sheinu machzik b'toras Hashem enu menas. But any kohen who does not hold firmly to Hashem's Torah has no right to a portion. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, the 10th parak begins, Hazro v'chayim v'keva nohagim ba'arts b'chutzlarz. The obligation to give the foreleg, jaws, and abu mesim, meaning the fourth stomach, to a kohen applies both in Eretz Yisrael and outside Eretz Yisrael, and during and after the base of Mikdash. However, it only applies to chulin animals, not to kadshim. Now one might have derived otherwise from a kal v'chomer. Chulin is exempt from giving chaz v'shog, the chest and thigh, to a kohen, yet is subject to Zro l'chayim v'keva. Therefore, kadshim, which is subject to the law of chaz v'shog, certainly should be subject to Zro l'chayim v'keva. The pasuk therefore says that ten osam la'aron kohen u'levanav l'chok olam. I have given them to Aaron and his sons as an everlasting right, implying ein lo ela masha amur ve'inyan. He only has that which is mentioned in the context of kadshim, meaning the chaz v'shog. The Gemara then attempts to derive from kadshim that chulin should likewise be subject to chaz v'shok, but concludes that this is impossible. Chaz v'shok requires tenufa, waving, which must be lifnei Hashem, meaning in the Azorah, but chulin may not be brought into the Azorah. Point number two, Rav Chisda says, Hamazik matnas kahuna o sha'achlan patim l'shalim. One who damages the kohanim's gifts or eats them before a kohen receives them is patim from paying. This may be derived from v'zeh yeh mishpat ha-kohanim, and this shall be the due of the kohanim, implying that the obligation to give the matanos only applies while they are in existence. Alternatively, the reason is mishum dehavli mamun she'en lotovim, because it's money which has no claimant, meaning no specific kohen owns them to claim damages. After a kohen receives them, however, they are his personal property, and one who damages them must compensate him. A brayse indicates Rabbi Eliezer holds one who eats matanos designated for the kohanim, for example, Maisar Ani, is liable to pay and considers him money which has claimants. However, the Gemara explains that the Chamim argue and require payment only as midas chasidas. Rashi says one must pay to fulfill his obligation, bidei shemayim. And point number 3, Rav Chisda's ruling is challenged from a brayso, which states, "V'zeh yeh mishpat ha-kohanim, and this shall be the law of the kohanim, melamed shematanos din, teaching that the matanos are law to be enforced by dayanim." Presumably, this means lahosiyim ben dayanim, to collect the matanos with judges, with the first kohen to claim, able to compel the owner to give them to him. If so, matnas kahuna do have claimants. The Gemara answers the brayso means lachokim ben dayanim, to distribute them according to the judge's direction. As Rabbi Yonason said, from where do we know that we do not give a matan to a kohen who is an ama arz? The pasuk says that the king instructed the people to give the manas, the portion, to the kohanim and levim, l'man yechezku b'toras Hashem, so that they will hold firmly to Hashem's Torah. This teaches kol machzik b'toras Hashem yeshu manas. Any kohen holds firmly to Hashem's Torah has a right to a portion, v'sheinu machzik b'toras Hashem enu manas. But any kohen who does not hold firmly to Hashem's Torah has no right to a portion. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Lamed, and our standard siman relates to kol, and we use a chazan for the siman of chazan. So here goes. The chazan, on his way to give Zerol Chaim Akeva, while singing about the fact that they are given only from chulin and not kachim, who got so hungry that he ended up eating them but was exempt from paying because they are mamon she'en olav tovim, was on his way to give the matanos to a basin that was going to distribute them only to kohanim who were not amei haaretz. Once again, slow motion. The Chazan, that must be on Daf Kuf Lamed Kol. The Chazan on his way to give Zerol Chaim Akeva while singing about the fact that they are given only from Chulin and not Kachim, which reminds us, the 10th Berak begins, Hazrol v'chaim v'keva, nogim ba'arts u'b'chutz l'arts. The obligation to give the foreleg, jaws, and the fourth stomach to a kohen applies both in Eretz Yisrael and outside Eretz Yisrael, and during and after the base of Mikdash. However, it only applies to Chulin animals, not to Kachim. The pasuk says, "Ve'etenu sema Aron u'kohen u'levana v'chol kolam." I have given them to Aron and his sons as an everlasting right, implying enu el masha amru be'inyan. He only has that which is mentioned in the context of kachim, referring to the chaz of Ashok, not the Zerol Chaim Akeva. So the chazan on his way to give Zerol Chaim Akeva while singing about the fact that they are given only from chulin and not kachim, who got so hungry that he ended up eating them but was exempt from paying because they are mamun she'en olav tovim, which reminds us, Rav Chisda says, a mazik matnos kahuna, or she'achlan patur mulashalim, one who damages the kohanim's gifts or eats them before a kohen receives them is exempt from paying. This may be derived from v'zeh yemishpat ha-kohanim, and this shall be the due of the kohanim, implying that the obligation to give the matanos only applies while they are in existence. Alternatively, the reason is mishum dehavli mamun she'en olav tovim, because it's money which has no claimant, meaning no specific kohen owns them to claim damages. After a kohen receives them, however, they are his personal property, and one who damages them must compensate him. So the chazan on his way to give Zerol Chaim Akeva while singing about the fact that they are given only from chulin and not kachim, who got so hungry that he ended up eating them but was exempt from paying because they are mamon she'en olav tovim, was on his way to give the matanos to a basin that was going to distribute them only to kohanim who are not Amayarz, which reminds us, Rabbi Yonason said, "Menayin shein nosim matan al kohen amayarz." From where do we know that we do not give a matan to a kohen who is an amayarz? The pasuk says that the king instructed the people to give them a nas, the portion to the kohanim and levim, l'man yechezku b'toras Hashem, so that they will hold firmly to Hashem's Torah. This teaches kol machzik b'toras Hashem yeshu manas. Any kohen who holds firmly to Hashem's Torah has a right to a portion. V'sheinu machzik b'toras Hashem enu manas. But any kohen who does not hold firmly to Hashem's Torah has no right to a portion. So once again, the chazan on his way to give Zerol Chaim Akeva while singing about the fact that they are given only from chulin and not kachim, who got so hungry that he ended up eating them but was exempt from paying because they are mamun she'en olav tovim, was on his way to give the matanos to a basin that was going to distribute them only to kohanim who are not amei haaretz. All right, so now it's time for a four blabach chazara. Daf Kuf Chavav. So the siman Daf Kuf Chavav is a cuckoo bird clock. So here goes. The man who went to the cuckoo bird clock shop, cuckoo bird clock, that must be on Daf Kuf Chavav. The man who went to the cuckoo bird clock shop and didn't notice the dead dog lying in the doorway with a kazayis mace in its stomach and two men measuring its neck, which reminds us, a Mishnah states that kelp sha'achu basar mace. If a dog ate flesh from a dead body and the dog died and is lying with its neck in the threshold of a house and its body containing the basar mace outside, there are four opinions. Rebbe Meir says, if there's a tefach of space in its neck, meaning its neck measures a cubic tefach, the tumah enters the house through ohel, otherwise it does not. Yossi's statement is interpreted in two parts. So, the man who went into the cuckoo bird clock shop and didn't notice the dead dog lying in the doorway with a kazayis mace in his stomach and two men measuring its neck, jumped when the cuckoo bird clock on the wall announced the time by demonstrating a different type of tumas mace every hour, which reminds us, Rabbi Shimon says, Shosh tumos parshos min ames. There are three tumos which emerge from a dead body, each of which has two of a mace's abilities to transmit tuma, but lacks the third. The first, mali tarbid rekev, a ladleful of decomposed corpse dust. The second, etzem kasora, a bone the size of a barley cone. And the third, gol of a dofik, the wall and cover of a coffin. So the man who went to the cuckoo bird clock shop and didn't notice the dead dog lying in the doorway with a kazai's mace in his stomach and two men measuring its neck jumped when the cuckoo bird clock on the wall announced the time by demonstrating a different type of tuma's mace every hour and almost fainted when he saw a mouse that is half flesh and half earth, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Achbar shechetsu basav chetsu adama, regarding a dead mouse which is half flesh and half earth. The Tanakhama says one who touches the flesh is tameh, but one who touches the earth remains tahor. Rabbi Yudah says, Afa nogeba adama shekanegada basar tameh, even one who touches the earth opposite the flesh is tameh. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, this ruling only applies if it developed into a sheretz over one entire side. Otherwise, even touching the flesh would not render him tameh. Daf Kuf Chav Zayin. So the simmer Daf Kuf Chav Zayin is cookies. So here goes. The baker made Marav B'Maseh Hashem cookies. Cookies? That must be on Daf Kuf Chav Zayin. The baker made Marav B'Maseh Hashem cookies with creatures from the sea, land, and air, and fire on them, which reminds us, we keep it with marvel, Marav B'Maseh Hashem, how wondrous are your works, Hashem. Yesh Chabriyos Gedeos B'Yam, you have creatures which grow up in the sea. Yesh Chabriyos Gedeos B'Yabasha, and you have creatures which grow up on dry land. If the sea creatures were to go up on dry land, and the land creatures were to descend into the sea, they would immediately die. You have creatures which grow up in the fire, or the salamandra, and creatures which grow up in the air. If those which live in fire were to rise into the air, or those of the air were to descend into the fire, they would immediately die. So the baker made Marav B'Maseh Hashem cookies with creatures from the sea, land, air, and fire on them to try and console the man whose animal had a dangling limb that became tameh, tumas ochlin, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ha'ivar v'habasa ha'mudadlin b'behema, the limb and the meat which dangle from an animal, matamin tumas ochlin mimkoman, transmit food tuma in their place, even while still attached, but require heksher with liquid before becoming tameh. Had they been fully detached, they would be Eivar min ha'chai and Bas min ha'chai, respectively. Eivar min ha'chai is an independent source of tuma. Daf Kuf Chav Ches. So the similar Daf Kuf Chav Ches is 100 strong men. So here goes. At the 100 strong men contest, 100 strong men? That must be on Daf Kuf Chav Ches. Kuf Koach. At the 100 strong men contest, where one strong man lifted the dangling leg of a shechted cow to see if the rest of the cow would come up with it, regarding heksher, which reminds us, on the previous daf, Reb Meir said that the blood of a shechted animal affects heksher for its dangling aver, even without the blood touching the aver itself. But Rabbi Shimon disagrees. This machlokes is explained in six ways. Abai says they argue about a partially divided item, where if one holds and lifts a smaller part, the larger part doesn't come up with it, but breaks away. Reb Meir holds, Aryuhu Kamot, the smaller part is still considered like one with the larger part. Therefore, the aver is still considered part of the animal regarding heksher. Rabbi Shimon holds, it's considered separate. So, at the 100 strong men contest, where one strong man lifted the dangling leg of a shechted cow to see if the rest of the cow would come up with it, regarding heksher, another strong man tried to attach a big hand sticker onto a live cow to indicate the cow may be a yud for its dangling limb. Which reminds us, Rabbi asks, can a living animal become a yud for a dangling limb? The aver can become susceptible to food tumah, but the animal itself is not. If tumah touches the animal, will the aver become tameh? This question is left unresolved. So at the 100 strong man contest, where one strong man lifted the dangling leg of a shechted cow to see if the rest of the cow would come up with it, regarding heksher, another strong man tried to attach a big hand sticker onto a live cow to indicate the cow may be a yud for its dangling limb, next to where some of the cow's severed flesh was placed that was not Matame, which reminds us, Tanaim exclude Bas Min Achai from being Matame in three ways from a pasuk. Rabbi Yosef Aglili says, Ma Misa She'ena Osa Chalif, and just as death doesn't generate a replacement, so too anything severed from a live animal is only Matame if it doesn't generate a replacement, such as an aver. This excludes Basar, which can regenerate. Rabbi Kiva says that just as an animal has gidim ba'atzamos, sinews and bones, so too only something with sinews and bones, which separates from a live animal, is Matame, excluding Basar. Daf Kuf Chav Tes, so the simmer Daf Kuf Chav Tes is a cactus. So here goes. The man sitting near a cactus. Cactus? That must be on Daf Kuf Chav Tes. The man sitting near a cactus on a sourdough bench on Pesach, which is allowed because it's Maisa Eitz, which reminds us of Block 11, which one designated for sitting, loses its status as chametz and may be kept on Pesach, and becomes a seat susceptible to the Tuma Chamura Moshav. This tuma may be deraisa, yet it's not an example of food transmitting tuma chamur because the leaven is serving as a maisa eitz, meaning a seat, not as food. So the man sitting near a cactus on a sourdough bench on Pesach, which is allowed because it's Maaseh Eitz, informed the rescue workers cleaning up from a deadly collision a rider had with a cactus that the previously dangling meat on the dead bull is not tameh, because it's forbidden for a goy to eat, which reminds us Rabbi Shimon refers from the Pasuk Mikol Ocha Asher Ye'achel, from any foods which can be eaten, food which you may feed to others, meaning non-Jews, is called food. But food which you may not feed to others is not called food regarding tumah of food. Since basi min hachai is forbidden even to Gentiles, it cannot contract tumas ochlin. So the man sitting near a cactus on a sourdough bench on Pesach, which is allowed because it's Maaseh Eitz, informed the rescue workers cleaning up from a deadly collision a rider had with a cactus that the previously dangling meat on the dead bull is not tummy because it's forbidden for goy to eat. And the dangling flesh from the dead rider is tahor, while the dangling aver is tameh because of aver min hachai, which reminds us the next Mishnah states that a person's dangling aver or flesh is tahor. If he dies, the dangling flesh remains tahor because it's viewed as if it fell off just before his death. And this tana holds human basar min hachai is tahor. The formerly dangling aver is matameh as aver min hachai, but not as a limb from a dead body. All right, so now it's time to cook with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do you want a block of leaven, which one designated for sitting, loses its status as chametz and may be kept on Pesach? That's on daf. Kuf Chaf Tes. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you want that the Zerul Chaim Mekeva only applies to Chulin and the Chaz of Ashok only applies to Kodshim? That's on daf. Kuf Lamed. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we discuss what the halacha is of combining two shomrim together? That's on daf. Kufyutes. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn that human skin is tamim in the rabbanan to prevent making one's parents' skins into spreads? That's on daf. Kufchabes. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn that one who damages matnas kahuna is pater from paying, one reason being it's mamun she'en lo tovim, it's money which has no claimants? That's on daf. Kuflamed. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do you discuss congealed liquid which exudes from the meat which combines with the meat for the shear to transmit tumor? That's on daf. Kufchav. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we have a question whether a live animal can serve as a yad for a dangling aver? That's on daf. Kufchav ches. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do you know that matnas kahuna may not be given to a kohen amaretz? That's on daf. Kuflamed. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn the difference between a human aver min hachai and aver min hameis? That's on daf. Kufchav tes. Good. Number 10. Which daf we mokers are going what the din of a smaller part is if you lift up the smaller part and the larger part does not come up with it but breaks away? That's on daf. Kufchav ches. Excellent. All right. That concludes this pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.